a pre- and post-game host here on TSN 1260 for all the order games. He'll be on tomorrow morning at 9:30. Oh, going to be a tough one for Gazzola as he tries to burn the candle at both ends. Friday night and then early Saturday morning. We'll see if he's got it in him. Gazzola, work hard, play hard. Don't be a softy.
Oh, buddy, as long as you show up the next day and give 110%, it's all good. And I'm being positive about this on a positive Friday. I'm not going to bed early tonight. I'm going to go play hockey, and then I'm going to have a couple of social sparklers and make sure that I complete my positive Friday, Greg.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Social sparklers. I don't mind that. Edmonton Oilers, of course, 4-0 for the first time, only the fourth time in franchise history, first time since 2008. What's interesting, though, is three wins now. They've tied the game in the last 10 minutes. Last time, last night with only a minute six to go, and then they come back. They win all of those games. You know, they haven't played perfect. They're not a perfect team, but they have shown a lot more resiliency than we've seen in a while. And more importantly, they've shown the ability not to get down and give up bad goals consistently.
Yeah, and that's something that they obviously didn't do the last couple of years. I like the spunk and the pep that this team, you know, punch back, counter punch, they'll go toe-to-toe with you. The only game, they've been down in every game too, Greg. You know, the game on Tuesday in Long Island, they were behind in that game before, you know, James Neal did what James Neal did, and they kind of cruised to that 5-2 win. But they've had deficits in every single game, and it doesn't seem to affect the bench. You don't notice really any sags in their game thus far. A little pep in their step now. So I like this attitude and spunk that they're showing and not getting discouraged like they may have last season and the season before. And the game yesterday was a good example, obviously, pulling the goalie, getting that late goal. McDavid getting a fortuitous call. You know, it seems like a lot of calls would go against the Oilers and McDavid in prior years, but he actually tucked that one in before the ref blew the whistle. By the way, I thought that was a quick whistle, too. But it worked out, and the game that actually kind of stands out in my mind where they were able to not get discouraged was last Saturday against the Kings, where they climbed their way out of four deficits.
Yeah, four different times, three times last night. And the NHL, I like they sent out their ruling on it. When the play is not impacted by a potential premature whistle from the referee losing sight of the puck, I like that rule. And not just because it benefited the Oilers last night, but because it's a smart, common sense approach. I can't expect the official to always see the puck. So I get why he's blowing the whistle, but if the puck's still moving and the guy puts it in the net, they go to review, they say, you know what? Whistle shouldn't have happened. It's not like anybody stopped. It wasn't like New Jersey had stopped playing in that millisecond. And even if you listen to it, I'm not sure the whistle was fully blown before he had the puck across the line anyway, but I actually like the wording of that rule.
Yeah, so do I. And you're right. You know, we're not trying to cherry pick it because and like it now because it benefited the Oilers. But it's kind of nice in a time, especially watching the NFL and football in particular, how nitpicky and hard to figure out the definition of rules like catches these days, like what defines a catch, this and that. It's nice to see a little common sense in one of the major four sports leagues. And somewhat refreshing. And I know the league had to go to the drawing board last offseason after what happened in the postseason with all those missed calls and all that. But it is nice to see that they're kind of figuring it out.
Tom Gazzola joins us. If you're Dave Tippett, do you make changes to your bottom six tomorrow?
I think so. And, you know, we talked about this on the show yesterday with you and Strutty. But I think Chiasson and Archibald make that bottom six a better group in general. If they're healthy and if Archibald, you know, this mystery illness that has put him on retroactive IR and has kept Chiasson out as well, if they're healthy and good to go, I think you slide them back in to improve that bottom six. Now, listen, this group has gotten the results, especially in the last two games. And I know Dave Tippett rewarded the same group that he iced on Tuesday night against Long Island and played them last night. But I really think that, you know, a Chiasson and an Archibald can boost that bottom six. And if I was him, I would slide them in. And the other change I would probably make, but this is me being the coach and trying to step into the coach's shoes, is I'd go back to Mike Smith, even though he has a bad record against the Rangers all time. You know, I think he has just five wins 12 losses and two OT losses in 20 games against the Rangers in his career. But my gut's saying go back to Smith, even though Koskinen's won these last two games.
Yeah, and that does make sense to me. Smith played last Saturday. They probably don't want him sitting longer. Although, Koskinen just sat out for 10 games before, or 10 days, right, from the Saturday until the Tuesday before he got in. So I guess they could do the same with Smith and go with Koskinen tomorrow and then Smith in Chicago if they like. So, you know, that's a good problem to have. Both goalies are 2-0 so far. I actually think Koskinen has played slightly better overall than Mike Smith thus far. And, I think the numbers reflect that. But regardless, they're both winning. Not that either one's played poorly. I just think Koskinen's played slightly a little bit more controlled in his game. The one guy, though, I do want to talk about is Ethan Bear. And, 23 minutes last night, he is looking more and more comfortable all the time. And I'm trying to look at players that he reminds me of, and I see similarities. I look at what Jarrett Spurgeon does in Minnesota and how he is a really good defender against a lot of top players, despite being, a big guy. And that's harder to do. And I look at Ethan Bear, and I know it's a very, very small sample size, but, man, if I was the owners, I'd be watching a lot of film in Spurgeon saying, Ethan, this is what you're capable of.
Yeah, and I'm impressed. Like, I know he came into the season wanting to prove to people that he's an NHL caliber defenseman, and it's good to see what a little bit of confidence is doing for a guy like that. And in regard to him being similar to Spurgeon, yeah, Spurgeon I think is a little bit smaller, but same type of game, like shifty, not overly physical, but still aggressive, smart stick. And just making good plays with the puck, headmanning it. There was a couple times obviously the first goal, that whole play where the five guys touched the puck before Draisaitl scored, that was Ethan Bear who started that whole rush out of the zone. And then on top of that, I noticed a couple times, like, just the poise in the offensive zone. He wanted to tee one up last night. He saw the forward go down for the block, and then he kind of gave it a pump fake and then sent it over to the sidewall, I think, to Draisaitl. Like, that confidence and him kind of hitting his stride and finally, I think in his mind, understanding that he fits in at the NHL level, I think that is only going to get better and better as he progresses. And if he could be anything like a Jared Spurgeon, then the Oilers, have uncovered a diamond in the rough with a mid to late round pick that they've developed. Another good problem that they finally have is that they've developed some defensive prospects, and for the time being, it looks like they have one that's actually panning out. But listen, Caleb Jones looked all right in his first few games, but I know this is Bear's second stint at the NHL level, so maybe that's where he's got a leg up on Jones. But yeah, you're right. That's a good comparison, Greg. If they could get anything like a Jared Spurgeon out of Ethan Bear, I think you're laughing and you're saying, all right, good job. Take a pat on the back.
Tom Cazzola joins us. Cazzola Chronicles brought to you by Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. Quickly to the Edmonton Eskimos. We'll see Santos Knox get his first start tomorrow. Also, Cooper is in at the running back position. Do you see it making an impact for the green and gold?
If Cooper is more shifty than C.J. Gable, I know C.J. Gable is like a north-south type of guy who just plows ahead. And if they think they need to throw a different dynamic and different look offensively with him, then if it works out, good. Because, listen, this team, the Lions have won four in a row, which, is kind of crazy to think considering how poorly they've started. And then the Eskimos are just like treading water right now. And I suppose if you're Jason Moss, you want to try anything to build a little bit of momentum, get this win, finally clinch this playoff spot, put the final nail in the coffin to the Lions and make sure that's out of the way. And then you could focus on these last two games against the Riders and try to build some kind of forward momentum into the Eastern semifinal. Because listen, Greg, this team is fading at the wrong time of year, and it seems to be a problem that's plagued them, and the same issues that have plagued them the last couple of seasons are coming up again. And if I guess Jason Moss, you want to try something else, give it a different look. If it works, because you're experimenting and you get the positive result tomorrow, then that's great. I'm all for it. Whatever works, get this thing going in the right direction heading into the postseason, because it's been a rough few weeks for this club. You know what? It's been a rough couple months for this club.
Cool. Yeah, it hasn't been great ever since they got to the final nine games of the season. So, well, a win tomorrow, though, would guarantee him a playoff berth. So that's a positive for the Eskimos. We'll see if they get one. Tom, have yourself a good Friday night. And you and Connor Halley up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow morning, 9:30 with the pregame show.
All right, Greg. Have a good weekend.
That's Tom Gazzola.